to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Welcome to the podcast. I am on my phone here, just as I'm starting this great interview today. There's this website that I've found, wearemouttees.com, and I found out about wearemouttees from being in a clubhouse room, of all things. And in this room on sustainability, they were sharing all about wearemouttees, wearemouttees, wearemouttees. That's all I could hear about. And I'm like, I'm going to reach out and see if I could have the founder and creator of wearemouttees on the podcast. And guess what? They said yes. Welcome to the podcast. Camille, how are you? So happy to have you here.
Hello. Yes, we meet again. I know we've kind of tag teamed and touched bases a couple times, a couple of ways, but yeah, so phenomenal to be on your podcast.
This
How exciting.
Is,
Thanks for having me,
This is amazing.
Dave.
It's like, again, when I heard people talk about you, you have a lot of fans, by the way. This one room, I think they talked about you.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They talked about you like for probably 20 minutes. And I'm like, I'm desperately doing
That's
a search.
Incredible.
So the message is getting out, and I'm so happy to be able to help share your message as well with our audience. So can you let everybody know a little bit where you are in the world? And let's do like the origin story of wearemouttees. So first, where are you?
Okay. Yeah. So we're located in Dallas, Texas, United States. And wearemouttees started just a few years ago, and the whole premise behind the company is that we have enough clothing out there in the world that we don't need to continually be producing brand new clothing using the Earth's resources. We have enough clothing that if every single clothing manufacturer just stopped making clothes today, we would still all be very well clothed for the next at least, oh, who knows, 100 years, because I don't know about you, Dave, like others and like myself, I have things in my closet from 10 years ago, from 20 years ago, you know? And so it's like, if we think of it that way, we really have enough clothing. So I wanted to start some type of business that would encourage people to really wear their clothes, wear them all the way out until they're just simply no good anymore. And so that's where the wear 'em out came from for the company name.
It's a spectacular name, and I love, it's a great visual as well. And there's one thing we talked a lot about in that clubhouse room, I'm going to go back to, they were really having a great conversation about fast fashion versus slow fashion. And as somebody who is in the learning mode, I learned a lot just listening to the conversation. But can you kind of fill in our audience about the difference between fast fashion and slow fashion so that we're all on the same page as we begin talking today?
Yeah, sure. So fast fashion companies, we know them, we recognize them, they are very popular. They consider the seasons to be 52 seasons a year. We all know the seasons to be spring, winter, summer, fall, four seasons. But in the world of fast fashion, it's 52, meaning they produce clothing, new collections and new lines of clothes every week of the year, 52 weeks of the year. New collections are produced and distributed throughout the world. That is fast fashion. So it's almost, we're taking a turn. So it's more about the producing of the fashion, producing of clothing, and getting it to you fast, quick, and in a hurry, and creating, okay, what's the next hottest thing that we're going to produce? Not taking into consideration, okay, so once people have these items, or once these items have been produced, what happens to them in the end? And you and I both know a little bit about this. Well, what do people do when they no longer want to wear their clothes, or they're worn out? So a lot of times they end up just throwing them away, or they think, oh, well, I'll donate this, or, oh, I don't know what to do with this, so what do we do with it? And so that's the big question, is fast fashion is, you know, producing clothes at a way faster speed than our earth can handle, and it being linear. So the difference is fast fashion is very linear. An idea is made, it's created, fabric is sourced, it's sewn, it gets produced, it goes to the stores, we shop for it, we buy it, and then whatever's left in the racks, it just goes either to a thrift store, and then after the thrift store, one of the major places it goes is to a landfill. It's a circular, it's a linear kind of direction, but with circular fashion, there is an opportunity to recreate something that's already been created, to reuse and repurpose and reimagine something that's already out there and be created and have been created. So when I started the business, I knew that, well, I can't put a Band-Aid over fast fashion. The giants out there are way too big. They have way too much money, way too much political pull. And what I could do was I can take what has been quote unquote discarded and try to turn them back into the economy so that we keep the longevity going for the garments themselves, for t-shirts specifically.
And this isn't your full-time gig, right? You're doing this as a side hustle, is that correct?
That's correct. Not my full-time yet. Started it as a, you know, pre-pandemic business and thought, okay, how can I put some good into the world? Now, I've been minimalist. I've been sustainable in other areas of my life. But as far as zero waste, there is no such thing. Only because our environment, our government, our society does not provide the opportunity or provide the means for us to be just zero waste. And I know people, they change their diet and they change, you know, how they recycle and they change how they purchase and consume things. And all of that's great. And not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. And that's our something. Yeah,
that's the main point right there. And I think it's overwhelming when you think about how much waste ends up in the landfill. And you're like, there's got to be a better answer to this. So what sparked the idea for you to start this then? Like, was it something that was something that a passion for you for the years or more recent? Like, how did this begin for you personally?
Well, for me, this began quite a long time ago before I even knew I was going to start a business. Had you asked me if I was going to own my own business 10 years ago, I would have laughed in your face. I would have been like, I don't know. Dave, that sounds like a heck of a lot of work. Yeah. Like, what? No, yeah. Not me. Someone else. Anyone else. Okay. But I used to be a huge fan of watching this TV show we have had in the U.S. I don't know if you guys have that there. It's called Project Runway. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yes,
I
mean, we do. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Yep. So I would watch these contestants have their vision for creating their work and having models try them on and them putting these garments together and all the work that goes into it and all the time that goes into making this creation of a garment. And, you know, see it on the runway, see it hit the stores and just be like, wow. Well, as a consumer, I used to also work at the mall. You know, everyone who went to high school or went to uni or college or what have you. Yep. Sometimes they worked at the mall, worked fast food, Well, mine was clothes. So then as a person who would work in a retail store, I would see all the branded things come in and get excited like, oh, it's Christmas Day. But then I also started my journey into thrifting and I would find clothes there that had the original tags. And I would think, wow, so this particular garment had gone through the whole creation, design, production part of it. It went to retail and then it went to the thrift store. And what a shame, no one purchased it. And so now I know it's going to the landfill. And I thought, well, I can't stop the machine. But wouldn't it be amazing if I could at least become a stopgap and get in between, wedge myself in between there and get at least some plain t-shirts and put some graphic designs on them and get them back out into circulation and back into the economy so I could, you know, elongate their use in the planet.
And that's one of the things that we're really excited about as well, too, is what we're trying to do is just extend the life of a product beyond its use. So like for us, we do things with like a piano. So the piano can't be played anymore. It's broken. It's going to be put in a landfill and covered with dirt. Well, what can we salvage from that? You know, the story behind it, the history behind it. You know, the piano's from the early 1900s. What can we do with this? You know, it's a shame to just throw it in a landfill. And I love how you're extending the life of clothing. And, you know, it might not have served its purpose or caught somebody's eye, but now what you're doing with it, you're giving it new life and kind of giving it a second chance. And I think it's brilliant what you've come up with.
I thank you, first of all, very much. And I think that anyone like yourself, like myself and the others that we know who are trying to do something to repurpose and reuse, I think there are such amazing innovators out there. I don't consider myself to be a creative. I don't consider myself to be an artist, but I know what I like. It's what I like is sustainable. What we like is always sustainable, right? Like, oh, if you could have a position where you would never work a day in your life, what would you do? Well, if you pick that thing that you love, it is completely sustainable. And for me, I love looking at clothes. I love the purpose behind the company. And I love just kind of sticking it to the man and being like, ha, someone did not make a purchase with you, fast fashion company, because they made a purchase with me instead. I love that. Nice. That's, I don't know, maybe my favorite part.
Okay, can you kind of let people in a little bit behind the curtain? How does this kind of work for your business? We shared earlier when we had like our pre-interview chat, you kind of gave me a little bit of a behind the scenes look. But can you kind of explain to people how a shirt ends up in your hands and kind of a little bit of the process behind what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So up until this point, I am the sole what would you say? I am the sole person who goes out and gets the inventory. So I go to thrift shops, secondhand shops, resale shops, and I'm looking for plain front, no design, no decor, no snaps, buttons, zips, sequins, t-shirts, cotton t-shirts, and they can be cotton blends. And I look at them, I check them out, I give them the, you know, once over, looking at the collars and the hems and, you know, just quality checks. And then I add them to our inventory. So I'll bring them here and I have a good size run, good collection of sizes. But the trick is I still have to measure every shirt because that's another thing that has to do with fashion brands. Every brand has a different measuring stick. And a lot of times men don't know this because men's pants, it's like, this is it. You're 32, you know, 36 or what have you. So, and as far as shirts, medium, large, extra large, it's very cookie cutter. But as far as women, we have just the types of tops we have are different. So different brands have different measuring tools. So a large in one size, one brand will be vastly different than a large in another brand. So I do have to also measure them, get them photographed, steam them, all the things, get them over to the printer, get the design put on them, and then get them photographed and up to the website. It's me right now, but
wow,
we're growing. I'm putting it out there. We're growing.
That's amazing. Where have your shirts, where have they ended up? Have you shipped them around to different, like within the U.S.? Are you in Canada? Where have your products ended up?
So mostly just U.S. I mean, we do have some fans in Canada, but mostly U.S. And it's amazing when I see, you know, I don't know about you, Dave, but it never gets old to see a transaction or to know that someone purchased something from you in the first place, right? Because it's like, maybe you never thought you would be in the business you're in. And so when someone also values what it is that you do by making a purchase or by sharing your content on social media sites or by, you know, spreading the good word in the rooms that you're not in, it's also validating. And mostly, yeah, U.S., but we have the Canadians listening too. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm right here. You're a new audience member. I love it. And again, I love you how you mentioned how people talk about you when you're not in the room. Again, going back to the Clubhouse room, when you were the topic of conversation, it's great when your customers value what you do and speak on your behalf. It confirms for you that you're on the right path, right? And that word of mouth marketing is so powerful. So to your credit, again, you caught our attention and all of this happened because of what you're doing. So it must feel good. Like, and there's this thing, we do this little happy dance as small business owners when somebody makes a purchase. We're just like, yeah, like we actually met our audience and we filled a need. So kudos to you. Like, people are talking about you, and I'm glad that I get to come on and share that back with you and let you know you're making a difference and people are noticing. So that's great.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I thought this morning, I thought, you know what? I'm such a big cheerleader of people. I love to see people succeed. Like, honestly, yeah. I love to see people succeed. And I sometimes spend time on social media, like cheering people on and saying, yes, you did it, or that's amazing. When I'm supposed to be on there going, okay, what am I doing on here? I'm supposed to be doing my own thing. But I just love cheering people on. I believe that there is enough success out there for all of us.
Yeah. And you mentioned before we record, you were cheering us on. We had an event this weekend and you asked how things were and you caught me off guard. I'm like, wow, you took time to notice. Thank you. Like, you know, yeah, you don't just say the words, you demonstrate the words. You did it for us too. So thank you. It's amazing. Okay. So let's talk a little
all
bit
on the same team,
right? We're all working together, right? So let's talk a little bit about the amount of natural resources that goes into making a garment. We talked earlier for a t-shirt, and I think I mentioned a pair of jeans. The number I was looking at, to grow the cotton for one pair of jeans, 1,800 gallons of water is required to grow enough cotton to make one pair. One pair.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I think we shared numbers for t-shirts.
Yeah. So it's about half a pound of cotton for a t-shirt. So for one single t-shirt. However, the amount of water that goes into growing the cotton to then use the cotton, harvest it to make a t-shirt. So there's about 713 gallons of water that goes into every single newly produced t-shirt. That is enough for six people hot tubs. One t-shirt, 2 6 person hot tubs.
Okay, wait. Do that one more time. How much water? Do it one more time. Okay. I think people really need to hear it again.
Yeah. So it takes 713 gallons of water to produce one brand new t-shirt. which is the equivalent of the amount of water that would take to fill 2 6-person hot tubs. Now imagine when you walk into a store, now that you know this information, once you know, there's no turning back. So when you walk into a store and you just see the rows and the aisles and the racks of t-shirts, just t-shirts, because that's all I deal in, just t-shirts. It can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming.
That is sobering. That is very sobering.
You think about how we could be using that water. We could be putting out fires caused by environmental crisis. We could be using it to grow crops and harvest food. We could be using it in, what about technology? If we could use water power instead of some other options. But nope. We're using it so we can look cute while we walk down the, the runway, or so we can look cute when we go to our class or go to work or, lay on the couch, whatever we do. So, but it's not our fault. And I want to say it's not our fault. It is the complete fault of these fast fashion brands who are producing way too many clothes than are demanded. I don't even want them to go away. If they could just cut, okay, well, there's several parts to this, but let's just say they slash their production, slash a percentage of what they produce. That would help incredibly.
And then the other part of it, I guess, too, would be not just the raw materials that go into growing the crops and the process of making the clothes, but also the shipping. So if this is made overseas, for example, just the amount of, the impact to our environment of just getting the product from where it was made to our shelves is another thing on top of everything else that is also included in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I think very few people pay attention to the tags in their shirts that say made in the U.S. or made in Bangladesh or made in Pakistan or made in wherever it's made. But as for production of clothing goes, a lot of times one country will dominate putting on the zipper. And of course, we're not talking about t-shirts now, but just think about clothing. A garment will go here to this country to get the zippers put in. It will be flown, shipped to another country to get the buttons put in. It will be flown to have the collars added. So your clothes are international, whether or not you know it. And I don't know what the statistics are specifically, but I heard in a conversation that only a very small percentage of it has to be made in U.S., made in Canada, in order for the entire garment to be designated as made in Canada, made in the United States. I think the U.S., I think it's 7%. 7% of a garment.
Well, that's disheartening as well. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we got to get some positive stuff here. Like, we were talking about all this stuff. Man, I'm getting so down. So you're seeing this. I'm seeing this. Hopefully people listening to this as well are checking their garments going, oh my gosh. Let's be part of the solution. So that's why I love what you're doing.
Absolutely.
What are your plans for this? This is a side hustle. It's an important side hustle. Where is this going to take you? How do you see this growing and expanding? What's in the future for you?
Well, let's see. That's a multifaceted question. Mm-hmm. So, yes, side hustle. However, I do want to get to a place where I can scale, and I understand, and I have a vision of how it can scale. But my whole purpose is to give people options and give people alternatives. Hey, if you want to wear a cool, graphic tee, one of a kind shirt, come here. Don't go to the big box store and buy one of their $5 t-shirts. and be like everyone else. Come get something that's unique, something that actually means something, that has a meaning behind just the words on the front of it. That is a good way to be an advocate. So, and as far as the business goes, I have a new design coming out. I'm not sure when the timing is going to work for when this podcast is on the air or when the new design comes out, but we're always working on getting new designs out that actually reflect the brand well. And so that's the thing with working with someone who is considered an artist or a creative. There's an endless supply of art and creativity. So we're going to keep pushing new designs. We're going to keep getting those up on the website. And speaking of which, I want to make sure I offer all of your listeners a chance to get a discount. So if they are listening to this and they want to visit our website, it's Wear Em Out Tees, and I'll spell that because it's slang. It's not wear them out. It's wear them out. So WEAREMOUTTEES.com. And they can throw a couple things in the cart. And if they use the code UCBOGO half, so UCBOGO half, they can get buy one, get one half off. Nice. By using that code. So
beautiful. So, you know, that's very gracious of you as well. So we're definitely going to put all that information in the show notes, because everybody, if they're on the treadmill at the gym right now, they're like, oh gosh, I don't have a pen. So they can go to the show notes and they can get that. That is very kind of you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the website. What are we going to see when we show up there? I saw a measuring chart for your shirts. I see some of your stuff that's there right now. How often are new things coming? Kind of give us a sense of how the website operates as well.
So the fun thing is, when you visit the website, there is some information there. And I always say the best way to figure out how to get the best fit, not just from our website, from any website. If you're going to shop on someone else's website, if you're looking for something specific, if you're looking for a t-shirt, take a t-shirt you already have in your closet. We know we or your drawers and take it out and take the length measurement. Take the width across the armpit to armpit measurement. That way, when you're shopping online, you can have a better chance of knowing that what is going to come to your door is going to fit you well. Because I can get into a whole nother conversation about where returns go if you decide to return things.
I've seen things.
For other companies. So that's a whole nother conversation. So in order to make sure things fit you before you order them on the internet is find something that fits you well in your closet already. Measure that. And before you click submit to order things online, every place has the measurements for their garments pretty much. So you can kind of match apples to apples that way. So as far as our website, every single shirt is different because the way I source them is, you know, is a one-of-a-kind way that they're sourced. Yeah. I don't just order a case of white t-shirts from China and they show up on the door and I slap a Wear 'Em Out Tees logo on the front and then sell them as something that they're not. So they are thrifted. So every single shirt is different. And as far as the graphics, yes, we have some graphics that are the same. We have a lot of graphics that are the same, but the combo of a different shirt, several varieties, and the graphic means that not any two shirts are the same. So that's one of the parts that's also super unique.
I love that. That is very unique. I'm glad we got to talk about that, because I think people coming to the website might just think that what I'm seeing is just an image of the 300 of them that you have waiting that are exactly the same as the one on the website. No, that's not the case.
Yeah,
so if you're looking for something unique, This is the place you come for something you need, right?
Yeah.
It's that one of one. I love that.
One of one. That's it. And honestly, once we print a graphic on the front, we just do a small batch run of it. And then that's it. Once it's gone, it's gone. And then we'll produce a new graphic. So.
Okay. So can we talk a little bit just about maybe some things for shoppers, consumers? You touched on a few things already, but the one thing I've heard somebody talk about, we can talk a little bit about this. I know we don't want to go too deep about it, but people who do shop online for clothing, and they say, well, I'm going to get the blue one, the red one, and the green one, and I'll just pick the one I like and send the rest back. From your perspective, as an expert in your area, I know, but the impacts, like, because some of these clothing items are not going to end up being resold. They're going to come to your house, you'll look at them, and then send them back, and they will end up where?
Yep.
Where do they go?
Okay, so.
Come on.
Okay, so the long story short.
Okay.
Is that the online reseller or the, online reseller that you typically would purchase things from, they don't have the reverse logistics in place in order to be able to accept returns back to their original location. So there are a few companies that will have some type of reverse fulfillment center that will accept all of the returns that were purchased from the original seller. Now, that is few and far between. Not everyone has that kind of reverse logistics fulfillment set up. So, sadly to say, if you return things online, they're not going back to the shelves for someone to purchase. They're likely just going to a place where they'll get burnt or going to a landfill.
Which also feeds into the problem and why this matters so much to me and why I'm so proud to meet you and stuff, because you are saying, listen, people, let's be part of the solution here. Let's really think about how our dollar
absolutely
and how our spending habits has an impact in the world and in our environment.
Yeah.
Really does matter on how we shop.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember the first time I learned that fact, and I just had something delivered, I think, from Amazon, and it didn't fit, or it didn't fit the way I thought it would. And I was like, oh, well, what do I do with this now? Well, here's what you can do. You can relist it on a selling platform. Hey, put it on Facebook Marketplace and resell it to someone who will love it and who will wear it. You can gift it to someone in your family or friend. You can swap it. There are swapping events that are happening locally and all over the place that you might not have thought about. So there are things that you can do, but I think number one is being conscientious about the purchases that you make to start with.
I feel like we both climbed on top of our soapbox in this podcast, and I'm glad to be up here on the soapbox because it gives us a chance to really talk about this. Is there anything else that you're seeing in this space with fast fashion and slow fashion that maybe something that you're inspired by, that you're seeing change? What you're doing is amazing. Is there something else, somebody else that's inspiring you as well that you look up to?
Well, I think that there are lots of people. Like I said, I love being the cheerleader, the ultimate cheerleader. I love cheering people on. There are a lot of people doing great things out there. Not necessarily just upcycling, but there are a lot of brands that are trying to branch out in sustainability. For example, there is one organization that makes gift wrap out of recycled plastic bottles. Huh. Right. Well, envision that. So So the plastic bottles are recycled and they're broken down into something that is a very soft and stretchy, pliable fabric. And it's called Sheiky Wrap. And I'll send you that information later. But
yeah, send me the link for that. That's amazing.
Paper gift wrap for gifts that will be used for all of 14 seconds to be wrapped and then be torn into pieces and hit the landfill, hit the trash. It's a way to use fabric that can be wrapped. It's a gift within a gift. And it's amazing. Like, I have some of it, but I've just been wearing it because it's so soft and buttery smooth. And I've just been actually just wearing it. I haven't gifted anything to anyone, but yeah. So Sheiky Wrap is a good one.
I love that. That's a great one. Well, one thing we like to encourage people at Christmas time or gift giving time is to use the free things that come to your home. It's not as beautiful under the tree. I get it. But if you're going to spend $60 on wrapping paper for 15 minutes, then how about take that $60 and donate that to a charity and then use what comes to your house for free, wrap them up, or don't even wrap them and put them under the tree. I know some people, but I love wrapping paper. Yes, but what are we doing? What are we really doing? What is the end game to all this? And we can, again, vote with our wallets, vote with our money as to what's really important in life and take small steps. And it might sometimes feel like the steps we take, like for you, for example, like you're doing amazing stuff, but there might be times where you're like, am I really making a difference? Really? Like, there's so many things happening in the world. Are my shirts really making a difference? And they are, right? Because you're raising awareness.
Absolutely.
You're making people talk about you in another room. You're not even there. Like, it's having an impact, right? And that's got to, again, go back to what we talked earlier. It's got to have like a great impact for you, just knowing that what's happening is catching people's attention. And that's all we can really hope for, right?
100%. 100%. I would just say to anyone who might start to feel overwhelmed, because there's so much out there and there's so many different ways that you can make an impact. Choose your one or two. Choose your three or four. You don't have to choose 1,200. Yeah. Choose your one or two and say, instead of buying this, I'm going to do this. Or instead of, you know, the swaps are important. And for anyone who's ever tried to change their diet or stop smoking or stop drinking or just change any type of habit, the swap to choose one thing over the other does make a difference. So I would say with that, choose to stop financially supporting fast fashion brands and find clothes elsewhere. Thrift, Facebook, swap with friends, buy a Wear 'Em Out Tees shirt.
Yeah. Of course, buy Wear 'Em Out Tees. Yes. Do they know you? Do they know you at the thrift shop? Like when you walk in, they're like, oh,
yeah,
there she is again.
Yeah.
Going to buy all our shirts. Like, yeah, are you getting a name in your community?
I called the t-shirt lady. So, yeah. Oh, gosh.
But you wear it proud, absolutely, right? You wear the shirt. You wear the title proud.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're making a difference.
And I heard in one of your previous podcasts, talked about the people who may find you strange or odd or like, how are you doing this? Or why would you choose to do this? And this makes no sense to them. But it's as clear as a bell ring for you. Here's why we're doing this. This is why it's important. This is why the people who get it will get it. And it will be a no-brainer to them. It may not be for you, but it's for the people who get it. And so all of your listeners, they get it.
And you made my heart happy in hearing you say that you've heard that on our podcast. Ah, that makes me feel great as well. So that's it. If we can share that message, with our audience, introduce them to amazing people doing great things in the world, like yourself, Wear 'Em Out Tees. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
And again, thank you so much for offering that special for our listeners as well. And again, we'll put that all in the show notes, but that is so kind of you. And I hope that we can generate great interest and great traction for you. Let's leave off with everybody. What is one tip for anybody who's thinking about starting a side hustle? They want to do this. They want to create something. Yes. And you have this floor. You have the soapbox.
Yes.
How do we start? What is some words of advice for someone looking to start something on the side?
Oh, I was hoping you would leave a little time for me to say. I would say that, kind of piggybacking off of the people who get it, you have to find something that you love, which will be sustainable. Because when the days are dark and no transactions are made, no sales are made, you have to keep your eye on that north light, that north star. So number one tip, your family, your friends, don't expect them to support you in any sort of way, because those people who know you as you currently are not necessarily the people who are going to join you on the journey of where you're going.
Wow. And
it's going to be difficult. And I would say this also. You're not just going to sell to your family and friends, because think about how small your family and friends are. And if those are the only people supporting you, you'll never grow. So just move them over to the side. Let them cheer you on. But know that your customers are out there and not within your own family.
And turn those customers into family.
Yes.
Right. And by doing that, you grow your family and you grow your community around what
that's
you do.
That's right.
And I think that's the secret right there.
You got it.
It's amazing. Wear them out tees, everyone. Everyone has to go buy a t-shirt, okay?
And get
I don't
one
care.
Half
I don't
off.
Care if you're at the gym right now. I don't care if you're at the gym, you're in your car, pull over, click on the link, go buy a shirt, just do it, because we want to support this amazing company and make a difference. Let's send a message to fast fashion and say, hey, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going to support.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going to give my money.
Yeah.
It's going to be wear 'em out tees. So that's what it's
graphic tees. Yep. Thank you so much.
You're okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I love sticking it to the big boxes.
I love it. There you go. We've now found our new place to shop for all of our gift giving. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
We wish you well. Don't give up. Don't stop.
Yes, definitely not. Same to you.
Wear it proud, because you're doing an amazing job. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dave.
All right. Camille, everyone from Wear 'em out tees, head over there now and purchase and support a great creator. Thank you so much.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.